It's home. Some people have asked me where I'm from, and I say I'm from Madisonville, and they say, well, where is that? But sometimes they know where you're from when you say Grace Baptist Church, amen? They know the pastor, they know the reputation. That's a good thing in some places. And then some places, well, you almost have to fight, amen? But it's because Grace has stayed for what's right, not for what's wrong. They have a testimony, amen? And that's what we need today. We need a church with testimonies, amen? With some men that will stand behind the pulpit and preach, thus saith the Lord. What a blessing it is to be here this morning. If you have your Bibles this morning, go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 28 this morning. Acts chapter 28, verses 1 through 6. If the Lord allows me to preach this morning, I want to look at this passage of Scripture this morning, and I know some of you are getting nervous because most of you know this is where the snake jumps out of the fire, amen? And I know that Baptists get nervous about that, especially in Kentucky. But when we look at this morning, there's some things that I want to look at. I want to preach a message to you this morning, shaking off the snakes. Shaking off the snakes. There's some snakes that we have to shake off. I remember there was a time that I went on visitation in Nashville, Tennessee, about Dickerson Road, and we were going down into a trailer park around Hunter's Lane, and it's a rough part of town. And there was a guy that we had been bringing his kids on the bus, and I knew him because I had sold him auto parts. And I walked into his house, and across the door they had this great giant boa constrictor that laid across his door, and it was their personal snake. Well, when I walked in, they thought it would be funny if that snake fell on me. Now, I'm from Kentucky, okay? And I don't like snakes. And they knocked that snake off on me, and I about killed their $500 snake. I stomped it. Now, when we think about that, I just don't like snakes. And whenever you look and you think about a snake, a snake represents Satan, and sometimes, and there's some snakes that come into our lives that we've got to shake off. And sometimes these snakes are snakes of our own making. And then sometimes these snakes that come out of the fire on us when we're in trial, they're because we've let Satan get in there. And sometimes we give him legal right to attack us. But also, folks, the biggest problem that I have is gene. I'll just tell you, my flesh is the biggest problem that I have. The biggest problem I have in my ministry is Gene. The biggest problem I have with being discouraged is Gene. Because if I look at the Word of God, I wouldn't be discouraged. If I started trusting Him like I say I trust Him and read the Word of God like I need to read the Word of God, I wouldn't have them problems. I know I'm the only one in here that goes through that. But when we look at this morning, over here in Acts chapter 28, it says in verses 1 through 6, it says, "And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Malta. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And then the barbarians saw the venomous beast hung on his hand. They said among themselves, 'No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffer not to live.' And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly, but after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their mind and said that he was a god." Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you for this day that you've given us. Lord, I ask that you'll enable me to feed the ones that need milk this morning, Lord, and be able to give the ones that need meat, Father. Lord, I ask that you'll work on our hearts, Lord, and help us to look at this. What a blessing it's been here, Lord, and what a help it's been to me. Father, Lord, I thank you for the messages that I've heard. Father, Lord, I ask that you'll continue to keep your hand upon this place, Lord. We want to hear from you this morning. Father, Lord, I don't want my words to be coming out. I want your words to be coming out this morning. Father, settle me. Father, Lord, I ask that you'll just continue to work on the ones that are here. Lord, we all have burdens, we all have problems and trials, Lord, and you know what's around the corner for us. Father, help us to trust you. Help us to love you more, Father. Lord, help us to rely on You because You are the one, Lord. You are Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, I thank You for what You've done in Your holy name. Amen. But when we look at this passage of Scripture this morning, Paul was a faithful witness. He had the life-changing power. Jesus changed his life, as we know that. But we see here, as he had stood trial and they had put him on this boat, he was going to stand trial. And in chapter 27, you see that his companions are caught in a terrible storm, and this storm is raging, and the angel appears to them and lets them know that the boat's going to be lost, but everybody else is going to be safe. Amen. And sometimes we have things that come in our lives, and I don't know you, I've seen my boat get wrecked a couple of times, amen. But He's always let me be all right. Now, at the time, I haven't thought that. But when I've seen how He took care of me, I say, well, you know what? You did exactly what You said You were going to do. Imagine that, a God that cannot lie, doing what He said He would do. But when we look and we think about the Word of God this morning, one of the first things that we need to look at is He shook off the snake of crisis. In chapter 28 and verse 3, it says, "And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand." When Paul was bitten, think about this, it was a moment of real crisis. Now, they had just suffered shipwreck, and this snake had bit him. But in the middle of this, now think about this, this was a crisis. He was in ministry. He was serving these people. He was helping these people. He was gathering sticks. Folks, us preachers, even in the middle of crisis, we still get bit sometimes, amen. Things come up out of the fire on us and hang on to us, and we think, well, I'm doing everything I'm supposed to be doing. Why did this happen to me? And that's one of the hardest things I have to deal with sometimes. We all have to deal with these things. But when we look at that, we think about crisis for a moment. The crisis of your ministry might be different than mine. My ministry, the Lord has blessed us with an addiction ministry and dealing in the jails. And sometimes I have some serious crisis. And I wonder, but in the middle of things, something else. And I say, Lord, I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do. Why did this happen? Folks, it's going to happen in the middle of ministry. He said, after we've suffered a while. And what good? We're just a pilgrim passing through. But folks, here's the thing. We can shake it off. He tells us to teach the grace of salvation. Amen. And I think about that. And I think, well, if I teach salvation, what will happen? I'll teach my people to look. I'll teach my people to live. I'll teach my people to be excited. And I found out something around Faith Promise Baptist Church. You can't preach too much Jesus. And I had a preacher tell me, oh, you just preach too much Jesus. Well, folks, that's what we're supposed to be preaching. And I found out in a crisis, He's the only one that'll take care of it for me, amen. I found out that He's the only one that loves me. I found out on Monday morning, like they were talking about quitting, yes, every other Monday and every once in a while Wednesday, amen. And what the thing is I found out that Jesus is sufficient. I found out in my crisis, in the middle of my ministry, all I've got to do is lean on Him this morning. That's what we have to do. But still, when that grabs a hold of us, no more than we like snakes, what do we need to do? We need to shake it off. We need to look to the Word of God. Now, this is good preaching. It's easy preaching, but it's hard living. It's hard to shake it off and go on. When you're lower and you're dangling your feet off of a shovel, amen. And you've got to understand here today, He's the only one that can shake it off. It's His Word. I think about what He says. He says He cannot lie. And when He says He cannot lie, that's what He means. So why do we as people say, well, He cannot lie, but He can't keep me. He cannot lie, but I'm not going to believe Him through my circumstances. I'm not going to believe that He's going to handle what He says He's going to handle. You know, the problem isn't our Savior. The problem isn't our Lord. The problem is us and our snakes. What we do is we pick up our snakes, and I'm bad about this, we kind of try to make a pet out of them. Nice little snake. That just don't work. These snakes that get on us, we need to stomp them and get them off of us. He said He shook them off in the fire. He destroyed it. Right. Folks, I have learned some things in my short time of pastoring. If I give it over Him and never pick it up, He takes care of it. He destroys it.
And some of you today, you've learned the same thing that I'm learning. You need to shake it off and go on. In our Christian life, we need to go on with the things. It's hard to do that. But the first thing that we see, that he shook off the crisis. Paul here, he had that problem. But, you know, after this episode, think about what he had done here. He was out there working and serving, as I said. Think about our ministries for a moment. We're supposed to be out there working and serving. Just because we're working and serving does not mean that we're exempt from trials and tribulation. It does not mean that. It does not mean, like Brother Keene said yesterday, it does not mean that you're never going to have to walk into a house and feel like you're going to lose half of your church. It's never going to be a time that you're going to have to walk into a jail cell and tell a man that they have lost a loved one on the outside and they can't go to the funeral. That's a hard thing to do. You know, when we think about that, there are crises that come, but we have to shake off because we're called to go forward. I get discouraged, and you get discouraged. If you're a pastor, you get discouraged. That's the reason why I have a problem with some of these people on TV. Well, you know, if you get discouraged, you've lost your faith, and since you've lost your faith, you're not going to receive a new Cadillac. Where is that? You know, it's not about what we're going to get. It's about what we're doing for Him. When you look at the two commandments, it says to love God and to love others and hang all the other commandments on these. Amen. And folks, we forsake things when we love others. Right. And in the time of crisis, when it's time to hide, we need to shake off that snake. Yeah, right. And we need to continue to love others. And it's hard to love them when they haven't been nice to you. And sometimes we're talking about shaking off snakes, but here's the thing. Sometimes you just want to shake them.
You're right.
That's the truth. I know some of you out there saying, oh, not me, never. But folks, just pastor a little while. You will. But see, when you think about this, he shook off them snakes. But we see here that when we think he couldn't go any better, and there's some other men that shook off some snakes. I think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, how they went ahead. It didn't matter whether they lived or died. They were going to serve their God. We need to get a hold of that. And it didn't matter to Job whether he was going to die or not, whether he lost anything. He was not going to forsake his God. But see, what we do, instead of shaking off the snakes, we forsake our God sometimes and say, well, why did you do it to me? Lord, why did you bring it my way? Why did you allow it to be on my shoulders? And the Lord's saying, shake it off, get in my word, get on your knees, and praise my name, is what he's saying this morning. But we say, oh no, Lord, you did this to me. And he says, son, shake it off. Love me more. Trust me more. Wrap your arms around me. I need a hug. And then you find out he takes over. Oh, that's hard to learn. I've been trying to learn that for 30-something years now. But see, he shook off that crisis. And then the next thing we see, shaking off the snake of criticism. You know, criticism is a very hard thing to shake off. In verse 4 here it says, and when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hung on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom thou he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffered not to live. Now, I don't know about you, but as soon as this snake bites him, as soon as they see this, they start criticizing. They said, he should have been dead. He's not living right. He's a murderer. Our gods, there's something. He was given up from our gods, from the sea, and now he's bit. He should die. Have you ever heard any criticism if you've been a pastor for very long? I can't believe Brother Durbin's still pastoring that church. I can't believe that Brother Ricky's still down there. You know, the things he does, I just don't see how that works. The association, the ones that he runs with, he ain't going to last long. You know, I was somewhere and I almost got in a little argument. They asked me where I was from. I told them where I was from. And they said, well, there's only one independent Baptist church in Madisonville. I said, excuse me? And we're going to leave it at that. But see, we have to understand that this criticism, we have to shake it off. Because what it does, we sometimes get to the point because we've been criticized so much that we get to the point that we quit doing what we're supposed to be doing.
Right.
And I have found out if we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, not everybody's going to like it.
Right.
I have found out that if you go into the jails and you try to bring them into church, not everybody's going to like it. If you go and you lead people to the Lord out on the street and you knock doors, not everybody's going to like it. And I have found out if you preach the Word of God, not everybody's going to like it. But I'll tell you this. I don't know if they'll invite me back or not at my own church some Sundays. But I know that I'm supposed to preach the Word of God. I know that I'm supposed to be instant in season and out of season. You have to shake off that criticism and preach the Word of God. I remember I was whining and complaining to my daddy, and he's a good sounding board sometimes and gives me wisdom. And he told me, he said, all I can tell you, son, is just preach. Do what you're called to do.
Yeah.
I said, Daddy, that ain't what I hear. He said, preach.
Yeah.
And then I said, yes, sir. Say, oh, but I'm telling you today, guys, preach.
Amen.
Don't matter if anybody talks about you, preach.
Right.
They might not like what you do. They might not like your suit. Might not like your cowboy boots. But preach the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know, we need to shake it off. Because I'm telling you, they're going to criticize us if we stay in that book.
Right.
They criticized our Savior. But we think we shouldn't have no criticism. We think everybody should like us. I came to the conclusion, not everybody's going
to
like me. But I'll tell you this, the ones who do like me love me, amen? There are men that pray for me and there are men that pray for you that will stick with you through the stuff. Why? Because you have one thing in common, that Word of God.
Amen.
See, what are we doing with these snakes? We're petting them. We let them take over control. I remember when that snake fell on me just like it was yesterday, it still sends chills on me. When it fell off that ledge of that door and I about stomped it to death, I remember that the only thing I could do with that snake is all I wanted to do is get rid of that snake. But see, we get to the point that we're comfortable with things. If we say, if we know where it is, if I can see that snake, I'm all right with it. If I can see it, I don't have to touch it, but as long as I got my eyes on it, I'm all right. Folks, that's not right. We need to destroy that snake. We need to put it behind us. We need to stomp it out. We need to give it over to the Lord. Because if we don't give it to Him, criticism will get to us.
Right.
Crisis will get to us. It will drain our ministry. It will drain us. It'll keep us from being what we need to be. And we'll get to the point that sometimes we'll just want to hide. Have you ever hid in your office? Sometimes you hide because all you feel like you want to do is study. You're studying. Yes, it's good to study, but you also need to go out and witness. You also need to go out and knock doors, but you're studying because you really don't want to see nobody. And then there's other times that you're cold and running cold and indifferent that all you want to do is go out and knock doors and hand the track out because you don't want to get in the Word of God because you're afraid it's going to reveal something in your life. See, there needs to be that mix. If we're going to keep the snakes off of us and we're going to be able to cast them into the fire, we need to have it in our lives that what takes place is we have the balance of the Word of God, we have the balance of the ministry in our life, we have the balance of prayer in our life, we have everything that we need, and that Word will give us the balance. And we have to have that, or what happens? We got snakes hanging off of us. And when we got snakes hanging off of us, we can't do nothing when we're trying to stomp them off. We're ineffective. You know, the only thing I could do that day when that snake fell down on me was stay in one place and stomp as hard as I could. I wasn't making no progress. I wasn't going forwards. I wasn't going backwards. I wasn't going side by side. I was just in one spot stomping a snake. See, that's what we do. These snakes get on us and we stay in one spot and we get down. We get a bitter spirit. We get angry. We get depressed. and God can't use us. Folks, He didn't put us in our churches not to use us. He didn't put us in our church not to have a witness, not to have a testimony. He didn't put us in our church. We heard last night we needed to be steadfast. He didn't put us there for us to do nothing. He put us there because He had a work for us to finish. And if you look around, everything in that book of Revelation is coming to that point that it's time. You can see it on the pages of Scripture. Everything's being fulfilled like He said He would fulfill it. He's a God, once again, that cannot lie. So we need to start living like He's going to fulfill Scripture through us because He's going to use us. We're the ones. Someone said the other day, I'd rather live in Bible times. Well, I'll help you with something. I think this is going to be pretty exciting. Nobody else has been raptured out. I'm not giving you no dates or anything, so don't look at me funny. But what I'm saying is this, I believe it's going to happen in our time. And when it happens in our time, nobody else has done it. I believe it's going to be exciting. Amen. I believe some of you preachers will even shout when that happens. Amen. But see, when you think about that, we have to shake these off. He's left us here for a purpose. But if we got these snakes on us and we got these things on us, How can we go about? And then the last part, verse 6. It says, howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. See, they become cynics. The snake of cynicism. These people were sitting and watching and waiting, and these people will sit and watch and wait for you to fall, but it's not about you falling. It's about the lifting up of Jesus Christ is what it's about. It's not about whether or not you're going to fall, because folks, we stumble because we're men. They were expecting, this crowd was expecting a great fall. They were a cynical crowd, and they looked for nothing good in the situation. I had someone tell me, they said, but Brother Gene, he said, why? What good will come out of going into the jails? Why do we need to go into the jails? I said, I'll tell you why. Some men will get saved. Yes. And you know what? We have seen men get saved. Amen. They said, what good is it? We started a halfway house. They said, what good is that? For souls to get saved. That's our reason. Amen. People are cynical of the things of God. Now you can tell them you're going to raise money for a pink dolphin or something like that, and they'll give. But if you tell them that you want to that what you're trying to do is get men's life back together, and that you're trying to give them the gospel of Christ, they button up their pocketbooks. But if it's a dog or an elephant or something special like that, they can give all the time. But folks, they're cynic. They're cynical. But folks, they were cynical of Christ, the religious crowd. Who is this one? They said, he's doing miracles on the Sabbath. They were cynical. He's blaspheming. How? He must be Satan. Folks, they're going to be cynical in what we do. They're going to criticize what we do. There's going to be crisis, but we've got to shake that off. We've got to let the Word of God come inside, and we've got to let Jesus Christ become the focus of everything that we do. Folks, Jesus will make you alive. And we say, oh, well, He saved me. Well, yes, He saved you, but you're not alive sometimes. And like I tell my church, I said, some of you are saved, but you're not Christians. And you say, well, what do you mean by that? They're not following Christ. And as preachers, folks, some of us need to quit following our programs and following the things that we think will work and put Sunday school manuals back up on the shelf and get back into the Word of God. Because they're going to be cynical about you. It don't matter. They're going to talk about you. You're just going to have to get used to it. And you say, oh, but Brother Jimmy, folks, I've only been pastoring for 8 years. I've been saved for 33 years this November. I've been saved. But I have found out something in that 8 years. I can't please everybody. But as long as I please the one who's called me, I'm pleasing the one that needs to be pleased. And folks, He's called us to to seek and to save. We don't do the saving, we do the seeking. He calls us to reach the one that nobody else. When's the last time? When's the last time have you went and talked to somebody that has more tattoos than a billboard? When's the last time have you gotten out of your comfort zone and go witness to somebody that you just wouldn't talk to? Say, oh, but Brother Gene, they might hurt me. No, they're more scared of you than they are of themselves. Then you should be of them. I'm telling you, folks, we need to get outside of our four walls a little bit more. And we need to compel them to come in because that's our job. And there'll be nothing better. Think about this. If we shake these things off and we're able to do our ministry the way that He's called us to do our ministry, and Paul had a great ministry. He let Paul go to Rome. He promised Paul that he would go to Rome. Paul didn't go the way he thought he would go, but he went. And he had the opportunity. And He'll do with our ministries what He wants to do with our ministries because it's His ministry. Yes. And if we allow Him to work through us, He'll do a great work. Anytime one man is saved, it's a great work.
Yeah, amen.
And we forget that. We think that we have to have a big church and a big building. But folks, what we really need is sinners getting saved.
Right.
What we really need is people getting their lives changed. And folks, we don't clean them up. God cleans them up. That change that comes in the heart, if they're truly got saved, they can't do what they used to do. And you'll find it out quick if you're a pastor, and you'll find out who got a hold of it and who didn't. You can see it in your churches. But folks, we've got to shake these snakes off where we can be effective for Him. If I don't shake these snakes off, I'm just cowered in my office worrying about little old Gene. And I'm sure some of you do the same thing. Shake these snakes off. But you can only do it through the power of Jesus Christ. It's all about Jesus. You know, and I'll close. I heard a man tell me, he said, Brother Gene, he said, you preach salvation. He said, and you preach it right. He said, but we need the deeper things. I need the deeper things. And this came from a man in jail. And I said, well, let me ask you a question. I said, what deeper things are you looking for? Are you leaning for? And he said, I really don't know what the deeper things of God is. I said, let me ask you a question. I said, if you look in the Word of God will lead you to the deeper things of Christ. I said, when's the last time have you read the Word of God? And he said, well, the other preacher that comes in here tells me that he will give me the deeper things of Christ. I don't need to open up the book. Folks, and this preacher's a Baptist. The deeper things are in that book. The things that we're proclaiming is in that book. When Christians start looking for deeper things, they look for the TV and stuff like that. Get something out of somebody's book. No, it's in the book. Shake off these snakes. Let's come out of here today charged and ready to go. Because He has a purpose and a use for us. You know, He called us to the place that we are. He called me to Portland, Tennessee. You know, sometimes I wonder about that. You say, well, why do you wonder? It's the strawberry capital of Tennessee, and I really don't care for strawberries. But I know I'm called there. Some of you are called in Clarksville, some Oak Grove. Some of you are called in Salina. But folks, White Bluff, the different places that you're from. But if we don't shake off the snakes, if we don't become steadfast, God's not going to use us. What's the sad thing is, we say we need power behind our pulpits. We do. But we're so weighed down by these snakes, and they're constantly biting us, and we're constantly standing in place stomping instead of getting on our knees and shaking them off and giving them to the Lord. Let's close in prayer. Father, Lord, we thank you for this day that you've given us and this opportunity once again to come before you. I thank you for everything that you've done. Father, Lord, help us to stay where you've put us. Lord, help us to proclaim your gospel in the pulpit. We thank you for everything that you've done. Lord, we thank you for your leadership. We thank you for your word. But most of all, we thank you for what your son did for us on the cross. Lord, I thank you for saving me as a 10-year-old boy. Father, Lord, I've never regretted your salvation, and I thank you for everything you've done. Lord, I ask that you'll be with the rest of these preachers. Lord, give them the words. Help us, guide us, and direct us, and be with Brother Richardson, Lord, and be with Grace Baptist, and we thank you for everything you've done. In your holy name, amen.